Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of the What I Am Reading podcast. Each week, I will be reading a short extract from the book that I am reading, which is available for you to access from the school library. Today, I will be reading from Madame Doubtfire by Anne Fine. Chapter 1. A Quiet Afternoon Tea with Father. All the way up the stairs, the children fought not to carry the envelope. Towards the top, Lydia took advantage of her height to force it down Christopher's jumper. Christopher pulled it out and tried to thrust it into Natalie's hand. "Here, Natty," he said, "give this to Dad." Natalie shook her head so violently, her hair whipped her cheeks pink. She interlaced her fingers behind her back. So Christopher tucked the envelope down the top of her pinafore dress, behind the yellow felt ducklings. Natalie's eyes filled with tears. And by the time Daniel Hillard opened the door to let in his children, she was weeping gently. He reached down to pick her up in his arms. "Why do you always have to make her cry?" he asked the other two. Lydia looked away. Christopher blushed. "Sorry," they said. Daniel carried Natalie through the hall into the kitchen and sat her on the edge of the table. Hearing a soft crumpling of paper inside her dress, he reached in behind the yellow felt ducklings and pulled out the letter. "Aha!" he cried. "Another missive from the poisoned pen. How is your mother, anyway?" "Very well, thank you," Lydia informed him, with slightly chilly courtesy. "I'm very glad to hear it," he said. "I wouldn't like to think of her going down with amoebic dysentery, or salmonella, or shingles." His eyes began to glitter. A little smile warped his lips. "Or Lassa fever, or rabies, or..." "She had the beginnings of a slight cold last week," Lydia interrupted her father, "but it never took off." "Pity," said Daniel. "I mean, what a pity." No one responded. Christopher had dropped onto his heels in front of the quail's cage and was whistling to it through the bars. The tiny silver-grey feathery ball jumped up and down, peeping with excitement. Lydia was leafing curiously through the heaps of paperwork cluttering the table. Natalie said, "Daddy, Mommy sent you her love." "Did she?" Daniel was astonished. "Did she really?" "No," Christopher said, reaching inside the cage to touch his pet. "Of course not," said Lydia. "Natalie just made that up. Or saw it on the telly or something." Daniel scooped up his small daughter and gave her a squeeze. "Oh, Natty," he said. "It's hard for you sometimes, isn't it?" Natalie buried her face in his armpit. "It might be easier for her," Lydia remarked, "if you yourself were to make a bit more of an effort." Daniel peered sharply at his elder daughter over the hedge of Natalie's hair. "What do you mean by that?" "I mean," said Lydia, "that we are only here on Tuesdays for tea and every other weekend. It isn't much, so it would be quite nice if Natty didn't have to spend it listening to unpleasant remarks." "Unpleasant remarks?" Embarrassed, Daniel feigned mystification. "You know," said Lydia, "the poison pen, all those diseases." "You're right," said Daniel. "You're quite right. I'll make more of an effort. I'll start now." He drew breath. "I'm glad your mother's well. I'm pleased to hear it." He paused a moment. "I won't read her letter right this minute in case I change my mind about that. I'll put it up here on the shelf and read it later." He tucked the letter away between the cocoa and a large bag of quail food and stood glowering at it for a moment. Then he turned back to his children. "I expect it's only about remembering to take your coats home with you this time, or something like that." Lydia and Christopher glanced at one another. They knew better. They'd read it. Indeed, they always read their mother's letters to their father. It came under their general heading of self-defense. They even had a system. Lydia tore open the sealed envelope and took out the note. The two of them read it together silently. Then Christopher would refold it into the same creases as before and slide it into a fresh envelope he'd taken from the packet in the desk. He'd carry it over to Natalie, who usually, unthinkingly and obediently, stuck out her tongue to lick the glue along the flap. This way, they shared all the responsibility between the three of them. And with luck, if ever they were caught, all the blame too. It's sure to be the Colts, Daniel repeated, entirely unconvinced. He scowled at the envelope again. Maybe, said Lydia. She did mention quite a few times during the week how very inconvenient it was not having our Colts. Daniel was irritated. You have other Colts. You have the Colts I bought you last winter. The children were silent, and Daniel noticed. She doesn't like them, does she? He said. Trying to head him off, Lydia asked. Could we have tea now? We're really quite hungry. The Colts, Daniel insisted. The Colts. The Colts I bought you last winter at hideous expense. You never wear them over here. In fact, I've never seen you wearing them. The skin around his eyes was darkening to a thin glaze. The children looked away. They knew the signs. You don't wear them, do you? No, you don't. She doesn't like them, so you're not allowed to wear them. I wear mine, Natalie offered. I did wear mine on bonfire night. And when we went sledding. And when the park was all flooded and muddy. And when we slid down that hill in cardboard boxes and Mum thought that there might be dog dirt. See? Daniel crowed triumphantly. See? She only lets you wear my coats when she's afraid the coats she bought will get scorched, or ripped, or filthy, or, thinking of dog dirt, worse. The taut grey look around his eyes intensified. And seemingly, without even noticing what he was doing, he lifted an imaginary rifle down from an imaginary rifle rack on the wall, and tilting his head slightly to one side, took imaginary aim through imaginary sight. What are you doing? Lydia asked him. Have you got a cramp in your neck? Embarrassed, Daniel made to hang the weapon back on the rack before, even more embarrassed, coming to his senses. To pull himself together, he squared his shoulders and breathed in deeply. The warm and comforting aroma of herbs and garlic filled his nostrils. The stuffed bread, he remembered. Ready to eat? You bet. Yes! Goody! They sprang to life. Using the side of her arm, Lydia bulldozed the untidy pile of all her father's most recent job applications further along the tabletop, clearing a space. Christopher did a quick trawl of the cluttered draining board, searching for enough clean plates of cutlery to get the four of them through the meal. Carefully, Natalie fetched glasses and a carton of milk. Cursing the steam that rose in his eyes and his scorched fingers, Daniel tipped the hot loaf out of the baking tin onto a serving dish, where it lay swollen and steaming for several seconds before it collapsed. Oh, nearly perfect. Mom says that often happens if you cook it too long. But Daniel wasn't having any of that. I didn't cook it too long, he informed them. It waited too long. Like me, it waited 40 minutes until your mother was good enough to drop you off. At this fresh criticism of her mother, Lydia tightened her lips. She said the traffic was bad. Daniel tightened his. Naturally, the traffic patterns of her own hometown would take your mother entirely by surprise. She's only lived here 35 years. She's only been a car driver for half of them. She's only driven you here at this time every Tuesday for the last couple of years. Naturally, she is as a stranger to the wheel, and the density of traffic astonishes her. Lydia snapped. It isn't very easy for her, you know, being a single parent. Daniel drew himself up. You don't need to tell me, he reminded her. I am a single parent too. And whereas she has you three to keep her company for most of the week, I don't. And you're 40 minutes late as usual. That's 40 minutes off my time with you, my very limited time with you. 40 minutes shaved off yet again by her customary unpunctuality and lack of consideration for my feelings. All three children had stopped chewing, but Daniel didn't notice. The same look as before was in his eyes, and curling his lips into a hideous grimace, he reached into the drawer at the end of the table and drew out an imaginary carving knife with one hand, while drawing the teapot towards him with the other. Still grinning horribly, he slowly and carefully drew the imaginary knife across the tea cosy. Christopher sighed. Natalie's lower lip stuck out as if she might burst into tears. Oh, do stop being so silly, Lydia scolded her father impatiently. You're almost making Natty cry. You tell us off for it, and then you do exactly the same. She turned on her sister. Now just stop being so wet, Natty. He hasn't hurt the tea cozy, or Mom. He just gets annoyed. He can't control himself. You're simply going to have to learn to ignore him. She's right, Daniel pitched in, filled with remorse. Your sister's absolutely right. I can't control myself. He fell on his knees in front of Natalie's chair. You're simply going to have to learn to ignore me. Some hopes, sighed Christopher. Some hopes, repeated Natalie. Thank you very much for listening. If you are interested in reading Madame Doubtfire by Anne Fine, then all you have to do is tell your teacher. Your teacher will send me an email and I will send the book your way as soon as I can. Join me on the next episode for more of What I Am Reading. Until next time, bye!